Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis. How are you?
Not bad at all. How are you, buddy?
I haven't spoken to you in a while, buddy.
That's true.
I haven't been able to get through, because sometimes you got to wait so long, you know, and I'm on cell phone most of the times. But anyway, I'm sitting down here. I'm here in MTWR sitting. I was here since about 9:15.
Okay.
Had someone to bring for a test for 10:30. But don't worry, that's life. God is good. Question.
Mm-hmm.
I did not hear that ad in its total. I didn't hear the ad pertaining to the ABC Highway. Can you tell me if the ad says that they're going to be working by night between Normandos and Waterford?
That's what the ad that's been playing today says, that the work will be done at night.
But the work is going on now.
I know it started. Apparently, they're going to switch to night, apparently, because of whatever confusion or congestion has been caused by the day work. But the ad I heard today says it's going to be done at night.
Oh, all right.
The original ad I heard, I don't think said at night. The one that I played this weekend, I don't think it said at night.
Yeah,
the one that I'm hearing now says at night.
No, yeah, because I called to speak about it, but didn't really hear the ad just now. I thought I heard them say they'd be working by night.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a change in method. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because let me tell you something. Wherever you went this morning, it was in a mess.
Yep.
It took me 41 minutes to get from Waterford Roundabout to Station Hill Intersection Bridge Road. 41 minutes. I mean, it is in a mess. Don't care where you go. You go to Jack City. Don't care where you go.
Somebody said it took them 2 hours. 2 hours to get from Warren's Roundabout to Saul Wildey.
It ain't easy. So I'm glad to know that they have revised it. They're now changing the atmosphere
night work.
And I call really to say that, you know, that they can do the same by night or Sunday, Saturday evening from 12 or right through or night. I think night. And you know what?
Really?
You get more work done by night.
Well, if the rain eases up. And it's cooler to work at night, so if they get the lights in place.
Even if the rain falls on the day, you can't work. So
that's true.
Same thing. Hopefully, we can get some work by night. And I think most of us would prefer that, again, the unions might kick back. Because you know how it is nowadays, when you got these unions, you know how it is. Somebody might come down and say, but right for the right by night. But I think most of them
would prefer work money. Money to pay union dues, money to go to the supermarket. Night work, I've worked nights. They don't kill anybody. You just got to get accustomed to it. The other thing, though, and to me this is the important one, being able to complete the job effectively, efficiently, without too much disruption. Although these days the number of cars driving about at night and on weekends just as much as in the day. The only time they don't seem to be on the road is when school's out. But hopefully it will be done quickly and effectively. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson, sir.
Sir, how are you?
How are you doing, sir?
I've been good. And you?
Not as good as you, sir.
You're in bad shape. Call the intensive care unit. You're going down.
Mr. Johnson, I want to ask some questions today, that things that I find that peeve me really. I want to know, number one, when are we going to stop this fakery that we have adopted in Barbados, where we are giving people who have not done a degree in medical science the same title as people who have studied for 6 and 7 years to get a degree in medical science as a healing art. And you have people who do history for 2 or 3 years, or somebody who do philosophy 2 or 3 years, and because they have a PhD, which they're entitled to, why do you give them the same title? There are some countries that have scrapped this foolishness. And I find it offensive that we, in this day and age, are still doing it. This doctor, this and doctor, that. What doctrine and what? A doctor has a special meaning and a special qualification.
Given by whom, sir?
I will let you discontinue.
Sir, given by whom? The title doctor.
Yeah.
What makes it unique to the medical profession? Suppose you called the man Dennis Johnson, MD, without saying that the MD meant medical doctor. and calling him doctor. What difference would it make? Because we've come up traditionally calling medical doctors MD, medical doctors, calling them doctor. You find PhD, doctorate offensive? It's called a doctoral thesis, sir. That's what it's called.
Mr. Johnson, if I look in the dictionary, I see doctor associated with healing, medicine.
So, but if you do it, if you do it.
I don't see any difference to that. If you look in the dictionary, you see the word doctor, it refers to somebody who is trained in medical science.
Because the dictionary was done when medical science was the only thing that had MD attached to it.
I understand what you're saying, Mr. John, but I think that it's time that we do it in the United States and drop it, because it confuses people. It confuses a lot of people. And I think it's time to stop. Mr. John, the other thing I want to question I want to ask. I've heard a lot about cancer here and cancer there, people having cancer in different places and so on and so on. But it really is something that I'm concerned about. The World Health Organization publishes reports every month. And I've seen one, I don't know if you've seen it, where it warned people who use toxic agrochemicals, and it named some of the substances involved, that these things have a way, these toxins have a way of getting into the body and creating problems which end up in people having cancers in different parts of the body. I want to ask the people here, the medical science faculty at Cave Hill, I want to ask the Department of Health here in Barbados, what research is being done to determine what is the penetration of toxic chemicals in our food supply, in our water, and in our air? Because we cannot continue to talk about marching and a cure when we should be looking at prevention. Because I don't know if you realize it, but Barbadians are coming down with this disease now, that you never saw it before. It is time that somebody took the responsibility to do the research. And what St. Vincent did, I don't know, but St. Vincent has just actually banned the importation and use of many of these things that go mock on and torpedo and touch down, because these things are highly toxic. And when you spray them on the ground, the rain doesn't wash them away because it stays into the soil. And when you use vegetables which have not been directly sprayed, but which pick up the vapor or the spray, or you use vegetables that go on the ground, you are realizing now, when you peel these vegetables, you can actually smell the chemicals in the vegetables. I don't know about you, but I had some serious situations with cabbage leaves or cabbage, sweet potato, okras. Everything now is being contaminated, and Belgians do not seem to understand that they have to protect themselves. Otherwise, they will continue to suffer with these heinous diseases, which cause a lot of, even young people now are being involved, sir.
I support the call. I have a comment too, yeah. I support the call for the close monitoring, the prevention of the use of toxic substances, either to enhance growth in animals, sprays of all sorts that we use indiscriminately. I have made comment on this program about whether or not our agencies that are supposed to preserve and protect our health and the things we consume pay attention to what's written on bottles. Are they written in a language that we can read and understand? Because I've seen even things like wash-up liquids. And I tried to find the English in it and can't. Because I don't know whether you're supposed to use it diluted, strong, whether you could use it without gloves, things like that. And you are right, we don't pay attention to it until our nails fall out or fingers turn blue or eyes start watering. And then we don't know what to do, because sometimes you use something to polish your car or to shine the glass, and then you rub your eyes because your eye itching you, and then you don't know what to do. So I am with you on that one.
Mr. Johnson, thanks for your support. Let me I find we talk a lot about accountability. And when we talk about accountability, we mostly talk about finance and monetary issues. Mm-hmm. But there are some issues in Barbados that I find that are being ignored. For instance, some time ago, the news talk about fires, the number of house fires. There was a time in this country when you have a house fire, the fire department, within 2 or 3 weeks, would publish a report indicating that they inspected that scene and whether they felt it was an accidental fire or it came from the electrical fault or they found a can of kerosene or something took place. You don't see nothing like that now. And people are taking advantage of this. I don't want to go into any details because I heard a conversation the other day. I couldn't believe my ears. That if your house is leaking and it can't get repaired, nobody knows saying you, torch it. I heard that in the bank. And I could not believe my ears. So I am saying we want to see accountability. There was a time when the Ministry of Health would send their inspectors to the port and they would examine, do a random sampling of all foods coming to the port. Sometimes they would condemn meat, sometimes they would condemn water, so it would be sugar, so it would be pigtail, chicken back, you know, Mr. Johnson. And they used to put a report in the paper to warn people that these things might have been contaminated and to be very careful. I don't see anything. I haven't seen for years, I haven't seen anything down in the papers. That is another area where you are not allowing the public to be aware of what's going on around them so that they can make sensible decisions.
Sir, the challenge you have, sir, is that newspapers have moved away from that type of reporting, it seems, and the agencies involved seem to have found other ways to communicate or don't communicate with their public. For example, I'm getting messages on WhatsApp saying to me, how could chemicals get on sweet potatoes? That water is tested for chemicals, including pesticides. There's a chemical control board that monitors and blocks and so on. And that's why I said the communication with the public sometimes leaves, to me, much to be desired. The Government Information Service puts out lots of information on several fronts. Paper that they send to the studios here that sometimes we don't read, and I'm saying so on behalf of those who don't read them, because I know it happens. They send them at 5 o'clock in the morning, but there ain't anybody here, so they don't get out to the studio till 10 o'clock, saying that the polyclinic closed early in the morning, so the person out there waiting already. So communication and how you get the message out. GIS, point at issue and various other things, informative, but sometimes given in manner that the public don't listen. I sit here and listen to ads. That's what I do for a living. It's not that I talk. I know I talk a lot. But my job is to sit here and listen to ads. So I play music sometimes in between and then. And I listen to a Government Information Service ad that runs for a minute and 35 seconds about e-passports. And if I ask 50% of the population of Barbados what the person said, they don't know because they don't listen. So it's not their fault. Let me just say to you, though, in closing, sir, as I got a signal from my producer telling me to shut up. A doctor, the title of a holder of an accredited academic degree, a medical professional, including a physician or a surgeon, and by the way, we just call surgeons Mr. Or Doctor of Divinity, those in the church, DD, they call doctors too, the Reverend Doctor. And as a matter of fact, it comes from the Latin meaning to teach. So professors could also be, you know, it's a thesis, it's a part of your academic education, up to and including a doctoral degree. So it ain't only medical. There are several fields of doctors. And they're all eminently qualified in their field. Got to share this quickly with you before we go back to the lines. I was talking about the Joint Select Committee of Parliament in Trinidad and the Bankers Association. Some of the answers had me dying with laughter. They were asked why it is you were charged for keeping checks. They say storage costs for keeping the checks. The bank had to find a lot of space to store the checks. $25 for that. It was asked why you could get a statement. You have to pay $25. We're told you could download it free of charge. But if you want a printed copy, you pay $25 for the paper and the mail out. He complained that you had to pay $30 for having an empty envelope in the ATM machine. This one made me die with laughter. The banker said that the workers have to do an audit of the full batch of envelopes deposited in the machine to ensure that the slip did not fall out. Now, here's why I'm laughing. If you take 30 envelopes out of a safe, you check the safe to make sure there's nothing in there. I worked in a bank. I know. I used to do that. Then when you open 29 envelopes, you take out forms and you credit the account. So the last envelope empty. What audit you have to do? You mean you're going to check the 29 you open already and throw away? Or you're going back and check to see that it was empty? That's nonsense. But at least they asked the question, right? And when you're withdrawing money from the ATM, you pay 85 cents. But if you're withdrawing it across the counter, you pay $5. They asked them why. They said, well, the bank fee structure hasn't changed in 2015. At least they asked. Listen, I will read this whole article at some point. I asked them to send me the actual recording, but my source in Trinidad tell me they're going to understand your voice better than ours. So read it. But anyhow, it's a very interesting piece of work. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to talk about insurance. My house is on rented land, and I can't get insurance for the house because I have seen and I have seen and I've heard on the television, I mean television and the radio, about the insuring your house, and you call up all these people, and the first thing they ask you if the bottom of the house is enclosed,
secured, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand me? So you get people that on rented land, most of us can't get insurance.
The reason that was given, there are companies, by the way, that do offer insurance on chattel houses, but they do ask that the base be secured because they claim that people could throw things under it and set it afire. It's the reason they give, and I could tell you that's the reason they give because I have asked. But there are companies that offer insurance. And I would suggest you get in touch with a broker or you try to find someone who can tell you which ones are and let them explain or take a look at your property. And the cost may be a little bit more depending on which one you go to. But I know one property that was, I don't think the base was completely secure, but there was insurance on it. I don't know what it was insured against, but I know it was at one point. So keep checking. Check with a broker or call the Association of Insurance Brokers. They may be able to help you with that particular challenge. It is one I have heard before. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Glenn.
Glenn, yeah, caught your voice.
Sorry, I got you so late. I think I'm going to have to call again another day. But there are a couple of things I think I can get out of the way quickly. Let Arthur know that the torchon he's hearing about is a process that is used in construction where they heat some kind of bitumen like.
Mm-hmm. And put it on the roof.
Put it on the roof. So
yeah,
that torchon, that is what torch means, to torch on. In that case, so it's not somebody advocating.
To burn your house. they may have made another comment that you didn't hear.
But he made a good point. He was referring to a good point when he was talking about the pH, the use of PhD. Now, in some countries, the usage varies between whether you call Dr. or Dennis Johnson PhD. That varies. But I know certainly what is standard is that you do not use an honorary degree.
Yeah, the honorary ones I left out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't call yourself like
an honorary doctor.
Or the press referring to somebody's honorary doctor. It just is not the thing. Mm-hmm. And it really makes a nonsense of the whole process. And I think that people, in their anxiety to elevate persons, should be a little more aware of international standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other correct, there's another corrective thing I want to talk about is I believe you appreciate it. Way back in 1976, the trouble of Cubana crash, the Cubana sabotage, Cubana act of terrorism, 6th of October 1976. There was a report, which I heard on TV, on radio, and read in the press, coming out of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, when the minister, their minister, husband was speaking at Payne's Bay at the monument, where she said that the plane went down within Barbados' territorial waters. I know for sure, because I was active in the press then, I was at the Advocate, where there was a big Barbados was insisting, they did surveys, they did measurements, they did kind of tests to show that the Cuban aircraft actually went outside of Barbados' 3-mile territory limit. And Trinidad was trying to get pressure Barbados to accept that it fell within our limit, because if we had done that, it means that we'd have responsibility for prosecuting the perpetrators. And there was a big argument back and forth between Barbados and Trinidad as to whether we had the responsibility or not. Barbados had affirmed that it had no responsibility. Because
it was even alleged at the time, I recall, said that Barbados adjusted its territorial limits so as to avoid being saying that it happened within its territorial limits. But I remember that part too.
But Trinidad was afraid that if they accepted responsibility, because it was pretty close to the accident that was happening then in my coverage, that they would leave themselves vulnerable with the other aircraft flying distant parts of the world to possible sabotage too. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure about it because the Advocate sent me down to Trinidad to cover a conference. We put this thing to rest. The Barbados delegates who had Mr. Bernard Sir John, St. John, it said it was settled in some of the most undiplomatic language ever heard in Barbados.
Which is why I recalled it.
Before Trinidad got the message, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a rather hairy situation that the people didn't understand what they meant by Barbados was not accepting responsibility because it had not gone down within
its territorial waters.
It might seem minor to some people, but for the completeness and accuracy of the record of history, but it's something involving your country and something. It's such a excessive and crucial issue. I think it has to be a fact that it did not go. I mean, scientific measures prove that it did not go along within Barbados' territorial
waters. Thank you very much indeed, Glenn. And that brings us to the end of the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I want to thank the Barbados International Business Association, Executive Director Henderson Holmes, and the president, the new president, Julia Hope, for being our guest and sponsoring the first part of Down to Brass Tacks. I want to thank you for your contributions, those of you who patiently waited. John Stout for taking care of things technical. On behalf of the team, I'm Dennis Johnson. Have a good afternoon.